Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. Today, I'm here with Shanti Krishna, and we're going to be talking all about cultivating emotionally resilient kids. Really excited to dive into this topic today. You are listening to Creating Wellness from Within, a podcast devoted to empowering you to live your best life by taking accountability for your own personal wellness. In this podcast, we strive to offer you actionable advice and tools to help you on your personal wellness journey. I am your host, Amy Zalmer. I am editor-in-chief of Midwest Yoga and Life magazine and the author of the Chair Yoga Pocket Guide, available on Amazon. I am passionate about yoga, philosophy, photography, travel, and all things glittery. You can find more about me at creatingwellnessfromwithin.com. Our guest today is Shanti Krishna, and she is a mother, actor, and voice artist turned devoted yogini. She was called to Kundalini Yoga in 2020 and completed her certification to teach through the RAMA Institute for Applied Yogic Science and Technology in Los Angeles, California. She is impassioned to empower others to master their mind, body, and soul through yogic practice, meditation, and self-reflection so that they may move more gracefully and lovingly walk through this ever-evolving world, uncover their destined path, and be of service to others to help elevate the earth to its highest vibration. I love that. Welcome to the podcast. So happy to have you here.
It is so nice to be with you, finally.
Yes, yes. After what feels like forever of communicating through emails, we finally meet virtually.
Absolutely.
So today we're talking about how to cultivate emotionally resilient kids. And I just think this is such an important topic. I know you had considered switching the topic, and I was like, no, I think this is a really important topic because, I mean, I hear from my friends all the time about how stressed out their kids are, how anxious their kids are. And, you know, like, you know, if we don't correct course, they're going to grow up to be very anxious adults, right? And we know what that does to our bodies. And so, you know, having a healthy nervous system, right, is so important. So where would you like to start? Maybe let's start with, like, why are kids so anxious and, you know, have more anxiety? Like I was saying before we start recording, like, I don't remember ever having a care in the world until, like, I got to college. And my friend and I were talking because she has a daughter who's a freshman in college, and she just has so much anxiety about everything. And we were talking, like, we never had anxiety growing up. Like, it just, like, we just, it didn't exist in us. Like, where is this stemming from?
I feel that, you know, like we had talked a little bit before where, you know, people in general and adults are feeling more anxious. There's a lot of depression, anxiety, and stress in the world. And we live in a world that is dysregulated, really. There's a lot of uncertainties, you know, especially over the past, you know, 5 years. And so not only are children feeling that just in general from the environment and surroundings, but they're seeing it in their parents, in their teachers. Mm-hmm. Everyone's overworked and underappreciated, you know, or there's that feeling of that. And so really it's, to me, it's nervous system regulation in adults that are nurturing children, and also self-love. Like, that's a big one too, because we're living in a world too where a lot of times, like, all the external stress and everything is impacting us. And we're also trying to get, like, love and recognition and appreciation from that disharmonized external environment. Mm-hmm. And so if we can come to a place where our nervous systems are more regulated, then our children are seeing us react less, right? We're coming from a more rooted place of grace, even if we're having a stressful day. And it's having those tools to be able to do it and to practice and be consistent daily and just wanting to live a more regulated, conscious life. And then in turn, I think that helps the children. And children are, they're overstimulated also, which is really hard for a child's nervous system. They have a lot of activities going on. You know, parents go, "Oh, I want to get them involved." And that's beautiful. The intention is there, but it's also, we need to pull back because sometimes a child just needs to be just in their home. And there's a lot of growth happening there and they don't need to go from one activity to the next. And school's a lot, you know, school's like a full-time job for a kid. And then just children managing all the other personalities at school and the anxiety of kids at school. And so it's a lot for these little babes, you know.
Yeah.
We were a little more carefree when we were growing up. And so that just allowed us to more naturally feel de-stressed. And we were outside a lot more. And
yes, you know? That's very true. We played outside.
Nature was,
You know, my friend, I was just talking to her this morning and her second grader was working on his homework. And I'm like, second grade? I'm like, I don't recall having homework until like maybe fifth and sixth grade. Like, you know, so I mean, adding that, and I know her child stresses out about the homework, you know, like, what if I don't do it right? So like, you know, just, there's just multiple layers of things going on in their little tiny lives that perhaps they shouldn't have so many things going on.
Well, and I'm really into too kind of researching and exploring alternate educational models. And right now we do have a lot more opportunity to do things a little different with education, but I agree it's stressful in itself to just be on a, you know, kids love like gamification, but when it comes to school and stuff, it's like, if you don't do it right, then there's this negative. You know, you're just, you're the feedback and the stress of that, like making people proud and doing things wrong. And not every child learns the same and not every child is good at the same things. And so for me, it's like, I'm really passionate about helping children find and helping parents understand like each child has a unique path that they came here to live. And so one child might not be so great at math and it might be a little more challenging. And compared to another who's just a whiz.
That was me.
That's his thing, you know, and he's going to be like an engineer. And then maybe there's another child where, you know, they're just more artistic. And so how we're made up, like our blueprint of our soul, I think it'd be interesting to, in the future down the road, it'd be so great to see kids being educated in a way that really takes into consideration their unique makeup and their unique gifts. And so, you know, I tried homeschooling for a bit. My kids are in more part-time school right now and some hybrid options. And it is interesting to see some of the anxiety, like that's been the big conversation I've had with parents in the different schools is managing the anxiety that their kids have just in general, general anxiety. And so, yeah, I really want to create a place where parents and kids can come to learn some of those tools that are easy and not so involved where, you know, it's like, it's hard to commit to new practices. And so, you know, the practices I do with Kundalini, it's short meditations and things that, hey, I have 3 minutes, I can do this and I can do it with my kid too. But I really do think it's more about regulating ourselves. And then, you know, like you had mentioned, modeling that regulation for our kids, because I'm not one to say like, you must meditate as a kid. You know, I don't want to force anything like that on a child, but even my children, when they see me doing the things, then they just start to get a little bit interested and they're just taking in that energy.
Yeah. I had, Holly from One Love Yoga on, I don't know, a few episodes ago. So anyone listening, you can go find that episode too. But they do yoga in schools. So they go into schools and they make the teachers do it too. The teachers have to participate as well, because they felt that it's very important for the kids to see the teachers doing it and for the teachers to know exactly what the kids are doing. And she has so many stories of kids. So they also are learning meditation, right? And mindfulness. And she has so many stories of kids sitting in class and they just close their eyes and get into meditation for just like a minute. They just breathe. They're like, I just need a minute. And they take their breaths. And the teachers like totally get what's going on. And like they're finding how beneficial this is. And we're giving these kids the tools to regulate their nervous system.
Yeah. Oh, I got chills because it can even be something as simple as 15 seconds of a breath.
Yes. Like, yes.
For a kid to know. And we've seen the, you know, close your eyes and take a deep breath. And it is that, and it's just that reminding of doing that. And then as they get older, you know, being able to add in different things. And a couple years ago, I went into Lucy Laney and I really, really was inspired to work with the underserved kids, because I was like, I have these tools and I know that it can be fun to teach them little tools to release anger. I think that's a big one. Release anger, fear, anxiety, all of those things, which again, you know, you had said earlier, adults and kids alike, we have the same needs.
Yes.
And these kids just loved it. And it wasn't like, it's not like you're doing it right, but it's just instilling in them that there are tools, you know. And I remember one boy who asked me if he could take a yoga mat with him, and you know, because I had these kids, and he was really like, even if it just touches one child at that point where they really need it, where maybe something happens at home and they're able to just go into their room, and instead of like zoning out with like a YouTube or whatever, maybe they're just going, I'm just going to take a few breaths, and I'm gonna, and the empowerment in that, where I can regulate, you know, myself, in even though they don't really even realize what they're doing, but they're like, oh, I remember that breath that someone taught me. I'm going to try that, you know? And it's just, you know, kids are also, I think, a lot, I don't know, they're just so spiritual and intelligent now, like more than we give them credit for. And so I think they can take these tools and even use them better than like you and I could have when we were younger, you know, like it was a different way of regulating for us when we're younger. But you know, these are smart kids that are coming onto the planet, and it's like, they want these tools. And I think, you know, they, to be able to just provide them in a fun way, right. With like stories and, song and making it exciting.
And, you know, turning to your breath, right? Like, we know how powerful that is. Like, I speak at conferences all the time, just, you know, not yoga related at all. And I have everybody at the beginning, I have everybody sit up nice and tall, shoulders back and down. Now let's just take three big breaths together. And like the collective energy in the room shifts, right? Like it's palpable. Like you can feel it. And that is a tool you can use anytime, anywhere. Nobody even has to really know what you're doing. You can just, you know, change your breath. And I think teaching our kids how to use that. And I saw the cutest TikTok. There's this little girl in the back seat, and mom's like, "What's she doing?" And she's like, "I'm meditating. Yeah. I need to de-stress." And it's so cute.
So cute. So cute. It's amazing. And it is. It's powerful, just the breath. I mean, if you could just teach one little baby anything, it's just come back to the breath, you know, close those eyes, come back to the breath. And I'm really big into mantra too, simple mantras like with the breath, this, you know, but yeah, it's definitely powerful, and it's definitely needed. And so I love seeing when people are going into schools too, because that's where there's a lot of, you know, stress and anxiety too, just within schools and of course within the home as well. And
you know, and I was asking Holly, you know, like what is it that's causing so much stress and anxiety in our kids these days, especially teenagers? Yeah. And she said that teenagers' mental health has been rapidly declining since 97.
Wow.
And that kind of blew my mind because I thought it was maybe a little more social media related. Yeah. And obviously that didn't exist for like another 10 years back then.
Yeah.
And so I actually found that really interesting because I do think social media does play a part, especially in teenagers, maybe not so much little kids, right? Because they shouldn't be on social media at least. you know, in my own local Facebook group, every day there's posts about bullying and like, it's girls and girls beating up girls in the bathrooms. And I live in like a more, I guess, affluent, nicer community. Like, you know, it's, you know, shocking. And I mean, bullying's always existed. I mean, you know, I remember the bullies in high school too, but it's just like, it's like to the nth degree now. And kids don't feel safe in school. And so I understand why there's all these like online school has just really taken off.
Yeah.
Cause not everyone can homeschool. I mean, homeschool and online school are a little different, right? Like homeschooling, you're teaching the kid, or online school, like they're literally online in school all day instead of going to physical school. So I can see why, these are so appealing.
And when you're taken out, because I think when you get into this like high school environment, and obviously it existed when we were in high school too, it's like, instead of really focusing on who you are truly as a person, like who you are uniquely, you're trying to fit in. And so you're trying to fit in and not be bullied. Yep. And so you're basically like not being who you are, unless somehow for some reason that's embraced, but you're not really living authentically because you're trying to just be in the crowd. And so it's so fascinating because I always tell my daughter, so my daughter was born blind. And so she really struggles with, she's five, but no one in her school, no one else is blind. And so she's got her little cane that she has to use. And she's like, well, why do I have to do this? No one else does. And I always try to tell her, you don't like being unique right now. But trust me, when you get older, it's those unique things about you. You'll want to be unique, but she's, you know, you can only really explain that to a 5-year-old mind, but it is true. It's like, I think in those years up until teenage years, you're just trying to fit in. You don't want to like upset anyone, you know, you don't want to be too wild, wacky or whatnot. And that creates stress because when we're not living in alignment with who we are, even I think as a teenager too, because you're really coming into adulthood, if you're not in alignment, you're going to feel that like dissonance in your nervous system because we want to be aligned and like our intuition wants us to be aligned. And so I've noticed like the more aligned I get and the more truthful I am with who I am and not worrying so much about what anybody else thinks, not in a mean way, but just in a, I stand true in myself and you love it or you don't. Things just flow, that the stress goes away because you know you love yourself for who you are. And so it doesn't matter if someone doesn't appreciate you because, well, I love me. And so I think we miss that a little bit when in our younger years, and especially in those teenage years you were talking about, because we are not understanding like authentic alignment, which is a whole, you know, whole path into itself that you could teach in some way. But I think it still roots down to that nervous system regulation and emotional regulation, which I love another thing too. So I've done a lot of acting studies. And so another thing I want to move into is teaching kids emotional regulation and emotional embodiment through acting. Because really that's what I went to acting school for, is to learn how to be angry, how to feel those things. Cause if you can't allow yourself to feel them, like we're always being told like, oh, don't cry, it's fine. Or you didn't hurt yourself. No, just come on, buckle up. And it's like, yes, you don't want to be sobbing constantly, but you do want to be able to process those emotions, or you're just shoving them down and they're going to come out in other ways. So emotional embodiment and regulation through sound and acting, and those are fun ways we can get kids involved in just exploring the different parts of themselves that go be in a more holistic way, mind, body, and soul.
No, I love it. And it's almost like instead of like forcing our kids, I'm not saying forcing because some of them want to do it, but like, instead of making kids play sports, like maybe we should be investing that time and sending them to like yoga meditation type classes. And supporting, because that truly is supporting their nervous system, and like sound baths, and just like there's just so many beautiful things that we can be doing to support them. And I mean, don't get me wrong, sports do teach kids certain skills, but there's also a lot of just ickiness now in sports, like just parents fighting on the sidelines and
Oh my gosh.
just ridiculous things like
It's
that,
competitive. It's very, it's that mentality again of like, oh, you didn't get an A, you didn't do well. It's very, and my kids do karate though. So that's the one. So, and what I've noticed about, so like karate, it's independent. You're like around other people, but the goal and intention is independent. And so I like that for younger kids. And yes, I agree, like sports and the competitive, there's nothing, there is good to be learned like within competition, but it's healthy competition. And yeah, when you have parents modeling, when it becomes
Screaming at the
value,
ref.
the win, it's like, no, it's not about the win, but yeah, it starts to become toxic, and then it's not helpful. And then, yeah, then it's no good. So it's
Yeah, but
finding,
can
and
you
again,
imagine if we were just filling, like, if we had kids' yoga studios, right?
yes,
And,
I
like,
want to.
just,
That's, yes,
I
that is a goal of
know.
mine. Well, I want a studio that is for adults too, but has a big children's program. And then also programs for parents too, to learn some of the different like emotional regulation, because it get, but yeah, just a place where kids can come together and learn yoga and meditation, but also, different embodiment things and yeah, children's programs. And we're gonna do it. We're gonna do it. It's
And
happening.
I mean, just think of all these kids in school that are being written off as ADD.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, they're just a child being a child forced to sit in the classroom for 7 hours. Like, I can hardly do that as an adult.
And they're feeling all of our stress. I mean, I just think about even how kids wake up, right? It's like, we got to rush to work, get up, go, go, go.
We're
We're late.
late. We're late. We're
That's how
running
their day
late.
starts. And it's like, and I get it. It's no shame to parents. I mean, but we do have to check ourselves and go, how am I starting the day? Because that's where the child is getting, that's their energy that we're setting for them. And energy is huge. I mean, energy lingers. You know it when you can, and my daughter will tell you this because she can't see, but she can feel what's happening around.
Oh, right.
So it's like, and you can feel, like you said, with the breath, the collective energy when you take a breath in, or when you walk into a space and you're like, oh, something's tense. That's legit. Like, that's not woo-woo stuff. Like, energy is transferable, felt, embodied. You take it in, and so yeah. And the stronger your nervous system is, the more you can be in kind of a bad energetic area, but also be okay within it, like having that inner peace and being able to maintain that. But you need to have a strong nervous system to do that. So it's like,
And I'm sure with your daughter, they say whenever one of your senses is weak, other senses strengthen. And so I'm sure she's even more sensitive to energy because, like, it's protecting her.
Yes, right.
It's like our protection mechanism.
Yeah, and it's how she moves through the world, you know? Like what, oh, I sense something. I mean, you can sense even objects, the energy of an object you can sense. And they've done studies on this. It's fun to look it up. But where there's like vibration and sound coming off of everything in your surrounding, you know, and you can remove items from your surrounding and change the whole vibe. It's kind of feng shui-ish, but also.
I was just going to say, like, feng shui is all about that. Yeah. And, you know, you had mentioned earlier too, like even the teacher's energy. Yes. And like, I mean, teachers really are overworked and stressed. And again, like parents are calling them up, getting mad at them because Susie got a B or whatever. And like to just carry all that with you all day long. And you have to try to be, you know, happy and spunky with your kids. But kids, like you said, they can sense it. They can sense through that. And so even just the teacher's energy, and they're around that probably more than they're around their parents even. Because, you know, you think about, you wake up, you go to school, you come home, you play for a little bit, eat dinner, and then go to bed as a kid.
Yeah.
Especially little kids.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not doing them service. And then a lot of times too, a lot of parents, you know, we're bringing their kids are going to school. Kind of like the teacher is just getting kind of really dropped with a lot because not only are they trying to teach and follow different, you know, curriculums and structures within the school, but they're also, I mean, dealing with the emotions of all these kids. And it's not like every teacher is trained in anxiety and, you know, and so it is, it's just, it's, you know what, we're caught in a cycle. Yeah. We're caught in a cycle where it does, like, things need to shake up a little bit because everyone's just stuck in everyone, you know? And so, but I'm hopeful because I know that more and more people are getting into different types of holistic healings and things that are, the reason I like Kundalini is they call it like the householders. So it's like, you can be like a working mom, but still fit in your practice, in a 3-minute session. And there's, and that's the yoga that I know, but there's every yoga I think is like that, you know, where you can, you don't have to take it on. Like, I have to do a 2-hour practice every day. It's like,
start small.
And if you do that consistently, it'll change your life, you know, just with like with the breath, even if you just did a breath every, you know, every morning, it would change your whole flow. And so
that's my personal practice is like a 15-minute practice.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I need. And it shifts everything, you know?
Yes.
And it's always the day when I'm like, oh, I don't want to do it. And then I do it and I'm like,
I can do it.
Oh, I'm so glad I did it. You know?
Yes. Well, yeah. If we try to take on too much, like, not going to happen, you know, it's like, no, just commit to 15 minutes and change your life.
Well, I think we could talk about this like all day long, but unfortunately we're out of time. So I want to make sure we mention how people can find you, and your website is earthsroot.org. And wherever you are listening, we'll have a clickable link in the show notes. So tell us a little bit about what we can find on your website, how to work with you.
So earthsroot.org is a hopeful nonprofit to come, and that does focus on teaching kids tools to emotionally regulate and move through some of these emotions. And then also with on that site, you'll find some of my other practices. I have in the works a podcast for kids. I want to interview kids, and through their wisdom, I want to teach adults, or I want to inspire adults to tap into their inner child. And then there's some other stuff right now. I do some private practices, but a lot more to come. Things are very much in development, but anyone can always reach out. I'm on Instagram at @ShantiKrishna_. Always happy to answer any questions, or there's a contact form on my website too, or any collaborations. I just love to connect and collaborate and teach any wisdoms or teachings that I have available. And I also have a community I'm aiming to create too. So just stay in the loop, get on my newsletter, and lots to come.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to share with our listeners today.
Thank you so much, Amy.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. Be sure to leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening so that you can help others find this podcast and help them on their wellness journey. Have a great day, everyone, and I will see you in the next episode.